I remember in my early years of priesthood, I was living in a different country at the time, and we had a couple of youth volunteers. We had these, we call them missionaries, young men or women that would volunteer like 1 or 2 years of their lives just to work for the church. And I remember one of them said, "Tomorrow, I'm starting the kiwi diet." But first of all, he didn't need to go on a diet. It's because this guy had like no body fat on him. But anyway, "Tomorrow I'm starting the kiwi diet." So of course, I'm like, okay, what is the kiwi diet? I thought it was going to be kind of like I've heard about the apple diet, where like as long as you eat an apple at the beginning of each meal, it kind of fills you, and then you won't eat all the other stuff. And supposedly that was a good way to lose weight. So I'm expecting something like that. I said, "Well, so what's the kiwi diet?" So "You can eat whatever you want, except for kiwi." I said, "Well, that's not so hard. Maybe I should, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to start the broccoli diet. I'm going to eat whatever I want except for broccoli from now on." And here's the problem. The reality is, we know you're not going to lose any weight doing that. Human nature, I don't know how many diets there have been out there. Actually, every time you turn on, you know, you listen to a podcast or you go to YouTube or watch TV, see, the amount of diet stuff out there is crazy. And it's amazing how many different ways we come up with to try to convince ourselves that there's an easy way to lose weight fast. You guys don't get it because you're all young. Wait. Another 20 years, weight loss will be an issue for you, okay? Just look at me. And the reality is, if you want to lose weight, it's going to come down to some combination of the following. Basically, it means burn more calories than you take in. If you do that, you will lose weight, guaranteed. Some people are trying to convince you, if you take this pill, you know, you'll lose weight. This pill is the miracle or whatever. Some people have these crazy diets. If you only eat this or you dedicate yourself to just whatever, and the reality is going to come down to eat normal, avoid sugar, avoid a lot of starch. You know, avoid fats as a rule of thumb. Don't eat too much and do some exercise. And if you do that in the long haul, you will lose weight. Slowly, but you'll lose it. Here's the problem. Like I said, a lot of us, we're trying to find ways to trick ourselves. Now, Jesus in the Beatitudes, what's he doing? He's telling you this is a spiritual diet. If you want to get healthy spiritually, this is what you do. And just like a lot of us don't like the reality of avoid all the food that tastes good, avoid all the grease and sugar and everything, and eat more like, you know, vegetables and just meat and stuff. A lot of us, the same way with in the spiritual life, we try to find ways to do whatever we want and then think that we're going to be okay. And just like the kiwi diet, it's like, okay, you know what? If I just give up this one thing, but then the rest of my life, I'm going to live it however I want, I'll be fine spiritually. Some of us, I think, go to Lent like that. It's like, I've got my Lenten resolution. I'm giving up chocolate. But then the rest of my life, I'm going to act like whatever I feel like doing. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. Giving up chocolate, that's nice. It might help a little bit. But you're not going to become holy. You're not going to grow in holiness just by giving up chocolate and still being a jerk, okay? Or never praying. So what Jesus is doing is he's giving us like this spiritual diet that is full of stuff that naturally speaking, we don't like. Naturally speaking, you say, blessed are the poor of heart. Who here really thinks, okay, you guys are in school, so you're like thinking, okay, what career path do I want to follow? I want to follow a career and a life path where I will be poor, I won't have any money, or not much at least, where I will mourn, which, you know, so when people are suffering and stuff, I will sit there and weep with them. I will be meek, which means that when people, I'm never going to give attitude to anybody. I will be merciful, which means that I have to hang out with a bunch of people that need my mercy, which are usually annoying people to hang out with. I will be persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Okay, how many of us think this is the job description that I want to sign up for? I want to do the right thing and get persecuted for it. It's like nobody. And nonetheless, Jesus says, this is what's going to make you happy in the end of the day. This is what's going to make you holy. So how does this whole thing work? Okay, First of all, I think we have a mistake when we look at the Beatitudes. I think when we look at the Beatitudes, we look at them kind of like the Ten Commandments. A whole list of things you're not supposed to do. Like, blessed are the poor in spirit. Okay, so that means I'm not supposed to be, like money. Blessed are the meek, that means I'm not supposed to have any self-respect. Blessed are the peacemakers, that means I'm not supposed to defend myself, etc., etc. That's not what they're telling us. What they are telling us is the following. And this is what Pope Benedict said. When you read the Beatitudes, what they're doing is like they're painting a picture of who Jesus is. So if you look at Jesus, you will see every one of these Beatitudes there. Look at his life. Look at the way he acts. And that's important because ultimately, holiness is going to come down to friendship with Jesus, union with Jesus. Union that's so close that we start letting Jesus into our hearts so that he will transform us and make us like himself, so that we will become images of Jesus. That's what holiness really comes down to. And what the Beatitudes are really doing is saying, these are different ways of being free. For example, if you are a person who's got like a hot temper, and anytime anybody ever insults you or does anything, like, you got to get in a fight. Either you yell or like punch them out or do something. You know what? You're a slave. You are a slave. You do not have control. People can manipulate you. And you have a weakness that you can't control, that people will manipulate, that will get you constantly in trouble and will keep you unhappy. And it will keep you from being a saint. That's one dimension that will keep you from loving God. What the Beatitudes are is different ways that Jesus is saying, if I ask you for this thing, will you open up that door to me? Will you, for example, the poor in spirit. This one I think is actually kind of a summary of everything, because the poor in spirit doesn't just mean I don't care about money. I mean, part of it. But what it really means is this. I am detached from so many things that are out there that, if I'm not careful, can distract me from God. To be spiritually poor means to be detached from everything basically that is not God. Now, do we need to eat? Of course. Do you need, warm clothing on a day like this? Of course you do. But the point is, I'm not looking to these things for like my end security. If God asks me, for example, if I'm attached to my phone, I'll give an example, I'm addicted to my phone or addicted to a certain app, what does that mean? It means that I am a slave in the way I use my time. What happens if you know you're supposed to say your prayers? You know I'm supposed to pray the rosary with my family or whatever, but I'm scrolling. I'm death scrolling or whatever they call it. Okay, you're attached. You are not capable in that moment of doing the thing you know you are supposed to do. And you're doing something stupid that doesn't even really make you that happy, but you are a slave to it. That's one example. Some people are attached to food. I mean, it's like, I don't know. A lot of people are attached to money, the pursuit of money. Now, money is a good thing in and of itself. But if you are attached to the pursuit of money, so you are willing to commit sins, you're willing to stab other people in the back, you're willing to commit crimes, you're willing to be messed up and tell lies and do whatever you have to do to get money, you are a slave to that money. And that money is an obstacle. You are chained down and it is preventing you from loving and it is preventing you from saying yes to God. So what God is doing in the Beatitudes is saying, I want to free your heart so that you can love. I want to free your heart so that you will be open to letting me in. Whatever I ask of you, the answer will be yes. And the cool thing is this. When we start trying to live the Beatitudes, we start trying to be meek, we start trying to be merciful, we start trying to be pure of heart, for example, to be peacemakers, all this stuff. What's happening is all you're doing is opening up a door in your heart to God. And then God is going to enter into that space And once he's inside your heart, because he's never going to break in. God is not rude. He's not just going to say, I'm going to come in and kick down the door. He only comes into your heart when you let him in. And when you let him in, he will start to change your heart. He will start to transform you so that you become a living image of himself. That's why when you see a really holy person, you see that person, but you also, that person makes you think of God. That person brings you closer to God. That's why saints are like images of God. You look at them and it's like there's something different about this one over here. They have been transformed. They are God-like and they are full of God and they lead us to God. And at the end of the day, when you are full of God, it's not just going to make you happy. It's the only thing. It is the only thing that's going to make you happy. And that's what the Beatitudes are about. It is just a bunch of different ways to open up our hearts to God so he can change us and make us happy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.